Welcome, and thanks for joining us on another episode of Doula to Doula, where we talk about pregnancy, birth, motherhood, and the doula life. I'm Exie Bueller, a certified labor and birth doula and childbirth educator. I'm also a licensed and board-certified massage therapist and owner of Tranquil Touch Birth and Women's Wellness. My co-host is Chana Vaughn.
Together, we're going to help each other grow, give each other support, and see how we apply our doula skills to everyday life. We hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, so over the summer, one of the conferences that I attended, there was a really great definition of trauma. One of the definitions was something that is perceived as a threat to a person's physical survival. It also overwhelms their coping capability, producing a sense of powerlessness. So there's a loss of control or a feeling of a loss of control. And it can also produce a sense of isolation. So you could be, you might have heard the phrase, feeling all alone amidst 100 people or something like that. Like
yes, absolutely.
A room full of people, but you're feeling by yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The second definition of a trauma is any occurrence which we, when we think back on it, or if we've been triggered by some present event, it evokes difficult emotions or physical symptoms or sensations. So it can, you know, you can have, for instance, most of us have had a near-miss car accident.
Yes.
The next time that you see a car coming in that similar kind of pattern, your heart jumps a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's an example of that. It can give rise to negative beliefs, desires, fantasies, compulsions, obsessions, addictions, or dissociation. It actually causes a block of positive emotions and positive qualities because you're overwhelmed with these feelings. We know that with this whole situation that we've been living through, the whole world has been living through, some of us have even shed what are called trauma tears. So something happens that's minor and we all of a sudden start crying.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, a commercial comes on and we start crying and nothing bad is happening to us around us at the moment, but we're overwhelmed with these emotions. Some of that is the experience that we've all been living. Some of it is there are those of us who have had this trauma layered on top of other traumas that we've had in the past. Maybe we've dealt with them, maybe we didn't. I am of the mindset that we never 100% fully can wrap our traumas up and keep them in the past. Mm-hmm. But different things can happen that make us more susceptible to responding or being triggered to an experience mm-hmm. with a traumatic response because your threshold changes once you've experienced a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that much easier for you to feel that sense of powerlessness the next time something happens mm-hmm. that's negative in your life.
Yes, for sure.
On today's episode, we are talking about traumatic birth, what it is, and how you can make a difference. So, how you doing today, Chana?
I'm doing good. Happy to be in the doula headquarters.
It is starting to be our doula headquarters,
it is.
Isn't it? And you really saved the day with this replacement cord. I have to tell everyone, I ruined the cord bringing it into our doula headquarters from my home office, and you very graciously went out and got us a new one, so we are able to be on today.
We are. Where there's a will, there's a way, so we are working it out.
Absolutely. So we were really talking about this because you actually recently had a very interesting week.
I did. I was able to do a 5-day course on trauma in the perinatal period, and it was fantastic and eye-opening and heavy in a good way. And I felt like it's something that we should discuss because I'm sure our listeners have experienced trauma in some way, shape, or form. And for those that are expecting, that may come into the birth space in a way that they hadn't expected. So I thought it would be good to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I know the course that you're talking about because I took it previously. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like I'm going to go back and see if I can access some of the videos that you were able to see, because they weren't the same as the ones that I was able to see.
Mm-hmm. And it's with Justine Leach and Sarah Edelman.
Okay. So our listeners come from all over the world, and I'm going to talk to our listeners for a minute. Some of you are currently pregnant or you're hoping to be pregnant. For some, it's your first time. For others, it's your second or third or more pregnancy. Some of you are doulas like us, or maybe you want to become a doula, so you're hitting all the doula podcasts that are out there. But the one thing that we all have in common, every single person on the earth around the world, is that we have all been born.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think about birth trauma, it's a fairly recent term. It's not a diagnosis. So when we hear women or birth givers talking about having a traumatic birth or having birth trauma, it's not a diagnosis. It's more of a self-identifying term,
mm-hmm.
Based on their experience. So when we think about some of the statistics, so some statistics that are out there is that it's 1 in 4 birth givers report birth trauma or having a traumatic birth. Other statistics say that it's 1 in 3. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's far too many.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's
either
a lot.
Way, yeah.
And when we think about the fact that birth imprints on the parents, we've talked in the past about the hormones of labor and birth and all of that, we have to realize that if there's this many birth givers who are coming away from their birth saying that it was a traumatic event, that is going to imprint or impact how they parent that baby and any other children that they have.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about trauma, and you and I have hit on it a few times over the last, 12, 13 episodes that mm-hmm. we've done, because trauma comes in many forms. People use the word trauma to mean different things. Those people who are in the medical community, doctors and nurses, they think of trauma as really something that is impacting the body physically.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're talking about is an emotional impact. So Besser van der Kolk is a doctor, and he wrote an amazing book that I have been reading called The Body Keeps the Score. And I think I've mentioned in the past, as a massage therapist, I can sense on the body when somebody is holding trauma. You can feel it in the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have learned and what studies in recent years have shown is that trauma also changes the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So Besser van der Kolk, he says this of the definition of trauma, that it is not the story of something that happened back then. It's the current imprint of that pain, horror, and fear living inside people. So when we think about an emotionally traumatic event, you and I are not strangers to that.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I had a very traumatic childhood. I had some medical problems. I was a very sick kid. I had a traumatic accident when I was very young. But I also had a home where child abuse was very prevalent, emotionally and physically, and domestic violence was prevalent. Substance abuse disorder was prevalent. And most of our listeners also know that as an adult, very recently and most recently, I experienced the trauma of losing my sister to domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
So trauma is something that lives inside of me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very aware of it. And you've had also trauma in your past.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, childhood trauma, the loss of my mother at a young age, and just lots of different emotional traumas, that can really impact you. And I liked how Penny Simpkin brought out that usually when birth givers experience a traumatic birth, it wasn't the first trauma, that having some previous trauma can lower the threshold for trauma. We usually, like you said, it's almost like a muscle memory, and it can be triggered by different things. And two people can go through the exact same events, and one can feel that it was a traumatic event, and the other one can be totally unscathed. It all depends on their perception of that event.
Right, exactly. And it's so interesting too, because a lot of people who experience a traumatic event and then they get through it, people view them as resilient, right? Mm-hmm. That's a term that we like to use. And resilience is really a return to your previous state.
Right.
So if you, you know, have something horrible happen and you come through it and you're like, wow, I'm really glad that's over now and I don't ever want to have to go through that again. Mm-hmm. That is more like resilience. Mm-hmm. But what I have experienced in facing and dealing with my own traumatic past is something called post-traumatic growth. Mm-hmm. And I first heard that phrase over the summer because I attended the Super Trauma Mind and Body Conference. And I was so amazed at that phrase because I realized that's me. That's what I'm feeling. I'm starting to grow after these traumatic experiences. Mm-hmm. So the definition of post-traumatic growth is that it can happen when you're facing a traumatic event, you endure this psychological struggle because that event challenged some core beliefs that you had. And once you come through that psychological struggle, you are more confident. And you are stronger and you are more capable of handling future events mm-hmm. that might happen in your life. And that does not happen overnight.
Right.
It's a long process, mm-hmm. which is why I think it's really important that we talk about these traumatic birth situations mm-hmm. and how we can help birth givers who feel like, I just had my baby 2 days ago, 5 days ago, 5 months ago, and everybody's telling me that I should just get over it.
Yeah, and that's one that irks me when people say things like that, or like, oh, but you handled it so well, or oh, you seem to be doing so good, or for those who have had a traumatic birth, oh, but baby's healthy, or you know, oh, but you didn't tear, or you were able to give birth vaginally instead of having to have some sort of intervention. Okay, great, but that still does not take away the emotional toll that it can have had on the body.
Right.
So people love to kind of give accolades to those who tend to weather the storm repeatedly and come out unscathed. But what they're not realizing is there may not be any outward display of trauma, but there can be a, you know, emotional turmoil happening on the inside. And if that's not addressed, if you're not unpacking that trauma and it's just holding space within your body, that can have a negative impact on you in future events. Mm-hmm. Such as birth, if your previous trauma was not caused by birth. So you have to really be careful about how we're addressing when people are giving their feelings to us and wanting us to hold the space for their trauma, how we're responding to that.
Right, right, absolutely. I think it's really important for us to talk about some of the symptoms mm-hmm. that people experience. And I want to begin by saying that it's not just the birth giver, that birth trauma or the effects of a traumatic birth can be carried by the birth partner. Mm-hmm. It can also be carried by those of us that are in the room. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of doulas out there who are walking around with what's called secondary trauma. Mm-hmm. They've seen things or heard things during a client's birth, and it was they never addressed it, they never dealt with it. Which is one of the reasons why this partnership that we have is so amazing to me, because you and I, we can talk these things through mm-hmm. and we can, you know, we can like break it down and figure out why things happened and how we maybe can address that in the future mm-hmm. and even how did it affect our clients, because we might absorb something as being traumatic and they're fine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because we have to remember that it's not the event, it's the perception.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So some of the symptoms that people who have experienced any kind of trauma, but we're going to specifically now talk about traumatic birth, they describe having flashbacks, mm-hmm. intrusive thoughts. Mm-hmm. So an intrusive thought can be a fear that stems from that trauma, mm-hmm. or it can be a vivid repeating of that memory in your mind that is, it's vivid, it's disturbing, you can almost feel it in your body. Mm-hmm. That's a symptom. Another one is avoidance. Mm-hmm. So if you have a new parent who had a baby, baby's healthy, birth giver's healthy, but the birth giver really, everybody else can hold the baby, just give the baby back to me when the baby needs to be fed. Like, a lot of times they play it off that way.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, they don't want to hold the baby.
Yeah, they're having a hard time with that bond because the trauma is the buffer.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. And the baby's the trigger,
yes.
Really.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So avoidance, or maybe they just don't want to talk about the birth. People ask about it,
mm-hmm.
and they just say, oh, well, you know, I was in labor, and it was really hard, and it was awful, and
mm-hmm.
and I ended up with a cesarean, or I ended up having a really long pushing phase, but I'm just so glad it's over.
Yeah, all that matters is that baby's healthy. That's usually what birth givers are expected, how they're expected to feel. They can also be really irritable. Mm-hmm. Irritability is a huge symptom of that. And having sleep disturbances as well. Sleep is really, as Penny Simpkins said, she said it's healing.
Mm-hmm.
So in those early days, weeks, especially when the baby is not, really on any sort of schedule and it's really hard to catch up on sleep, you really have to make sure you take care of yourself if you have any of the above symptoms.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, I kind of have this mind that bounces back and forth between, you know, medical and non-medical
mm-hmm.
circumstances. I have a friend whose husband recently underwent heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately in the next 24 hours, they want to get him up and they want to get him moving. You know, it helps with blood clot issues and all of that. But he just wanted to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it comes to find out there were some other things going on. He's home now and he's doing well. But again, he came home and he was conked out
mm-hmm.
almost immediately once he got settled. The body needs the sleep
mm-hmm.
in order to allow for healing.
Yep.
And when we're talking about a traumatic birth,
mm-hmm.
and when we talk about how trauma changes your brain chemistry, it changes how your brain is functioning, how your brain is seeing things.
Mm-hmm.
Hypervigilance is another symptom.
Mm-hmm.
And that hypervigilance, it could be a startle reflex that, you know, the slightest sound makes a person jump. Or it could be just always on guard, like you put the baby down to sleep, but you don't want to walk out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
You can't leave the room. You have to watch the baby breathe.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of hypervigilance is not a normal part of recovery
right.
after birth.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to say, oh, I love to watch my baby sleep. It's another to physically be unable to leave the room for fear that something will happen to your baby
mm-hmm.
who is sleeping.
And I feel like it's not discussed enough because looking back, I realized that I was exhibiting a lot of these symptoms. And I literally slept sitting up holding my daughter for the first 6 months of her life.
Wow.
But everyone was like, oh, well, you know, you're a new mom. Everything freaks you out. Everything, you know, it was just because I was a new mom.
Mm-hmm.
No one, and they probably weren't equipped to as well. So I don't place blame with anyone. But no one said, hey, are you okay? You know, like, that's not... You should be able to sleep at this point.
Right.
So we just want to make sure that we're supporting birth givers and their partners. Now, maybe the partner can't sleep. Maybe the partner's the one that can't put the baby down. Either one or both could be exhibiting these symptoms and making sure that we're supporting both of them.
Right, right, exactly. And so some of our listeners have been listening to all of our episodes or
mm-hmm.
have listened to numerous episodes. I look at the downloads
mm-hmm.
and it's really interesting to see which ones are really getting the attention of the listeners. And the people who have heard your birth story on the surface, and I have said more than once that you have impressed me as a birth giver because you were very proactive, you were very well researched, as opposed to me who had no internet, you know, it was 1995. So to hear, you know, the way that you tell your birth story initially,
mm-hmm.
the way that you told it to me, and to hear you say this now, what happened in your birth with your daughter that now you look back and you say, oh, there was a little bit of trauma there.
There was. And yeah, so attending this 5-day course and hearing Justine give her birth story and, you know, seeing the comments from the other participants, I kind of had to stop and I had like an aha moment, you know, like the light bulb went off. I remember my water broke when I was at home, when I was pregnant with my daughter. And I, you know, it seemed like there was meconium stain, like she had taken her first poop in utero. And I felt like, because of all my research,
mm-hmm.
I felt like I had saw indications of that. So we went to the hospital and I'm in triage and my midwife is there. And I told her, you know, my water broke and it was meconium stained. And you know, I'm all freaked out because I know what that can mean for baby. It can be really dangerous for baby. And she's like, no, I don't see anything. Your water didn't break. You're fine. We're going to check you anyway, just, you know, just because. And instantly, I felt like I was out of touch with my body, like, oh, I don't know, you know, clearly I'm clueless. If I can't even tell if my water broke, how am I going to, you know, give birth to this baby? So instantly, I stopped trusting myself and my body.
So there was a shift,
an emotional
and mental shift that you weren't even aware of at the time. But now with all of your...
Looking back, because then I was afraid to push. I didn't feel like I was pushing correctly. You know, all these different things where I came in kind of feeling like I know what's going on. The maternal instincts are kicking in. But in triage, that kind of was stripped away. And it's hard. I mean, birth is difficult in its own right. And to feel like you are, you know, your body and to feel empowered is so important in the birth experience. And I lost that. And I didn't look at it that way initially. Mm-hmm. But then when I realized I had the side effects of that was part of a traumatic event for me. It so much after the birth makes sense now.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about it. So after birth, you know, if a birth giver has experienced a trauma during her birth or during their birth. So let's talk about that a little bit. If a birth giver has experienced trauma. And it's not, we need to kind of separate this a little bit because I think, and I've had clients whose babies have ended up in the NICU or the special care. They've had a real medical issue that needed to be cared for. And that in and of itself is traumatic.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
We're talking about births that in all ideas of the world, in our society and culture, are considered normal. Baby is healthy, physically healthy. Birth giver is physically healthy. The birth giver may have experienced an episiotomy or a forceps or a vacuum. You know, there could have been a numerous amount of interventions, but physically speaking, there's nothing medically wrong with the birth giver to where doctors need to be watching them. So when you take a situation like that and you have a birth giver who feels like their birth was traumatic, and they're exhibiting some of these signs, avoidance, flashbacks, sleep disturbances, that has an impact on breastfeeding.
Oh, yeah.
So we are looking now at repercussions that go far outside of the actual birthing room. Now, I had trouble breastfeeding my first son, and I didn't realize that that birth was traumatic for me for numerous reasons. And looking back now, I can see that it impacted how I parented in the first days and weeks for sure, but also down the road. Did you have any trouble breastfeeding or?
I felt like I didn't have trust in my body that I could do it. Thankfully, my sheer determination kicked in at that point because I was determined I was breastfed and, you know, so were my siblings. So I kind of grew up in an environment that was really breastfeeding or chest feeding friendly. So, but I didn't nurse my daughter as long as I did my son. And I think part of it was just because I was holding so much, you know, I was definitely that birth experience brought out other trauma, you know, because trauma usually feeds on trauma. So it brought out other trauma and the fact that I didn't have my mom and, you know, I didn't feel like I didn't have the network then that I do now.
Right.
So for sure, if you feel, you know, if giving birth, you kind of lose your confidence, then I started to think, well, can I breastfeed? Oh, am I doing this right? Am I doing anything right? You know, it can have a trickle down effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So that opens us up then to talking about how important support is.
Oh, it's so important. Oh, my goodness.
So one of the things that I hear a lot from my clients, massage clients, prenatal clients, as well as doula clients, but I also get it from clients who are maybe the grandmother-to-be, and their daughter or daughter-in-law is living out of state, and they're relaying to me, well, this is what she said happened. So right now we're living in a time where many birth givers are not even getting the same number of in-person appointments, face-to-face appointments that they had with their providers before the pandemic. So we're taking away or they're losing that connection.
And a lot of times the partner is not able to go to the appointment with them.
That is a very good point. That is a very good point because I know when I was pregnant with my kids, my husband was able to come with me to every appointment possible. He worked nights with my first son, so that was much easier for him to attend all of the appointments with me. But you're right. Yeah, so you have another layer of support that's now getting kind of nicked away at.
Mm-hmm.
So we have already at the very beginning of pregnancy, now we have this kind of catalyst of lowered expectations of support,
mm-hmm.
lowered expectations of feeling cared for and of feeling heard. Because not only are you maybe limited in your face-to-face contact with your provider, but even before that, your appointments were very short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of clients who come back and they're like, oh, you know, the doctor only saw me for 15 minutes. Now, if you're fortunate and you have a midwife, sometimes those appointments are longer,
yeah.
but you still are limited.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about trauma as being a perception of an event that happened, it is how you walk away feeling.
Mm-hmm.
For my traumas, especially the most recent one, losing my sister, there was no sense of control. She was out of state. I got a phone call. It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got down there to the hospital, I took control. I needed to take control. That's what I needed, even though I could do absolutely nothing to help her situation.
Mm-hmm.
I needed emotionally to be in control. Mm-hmm. And I was very blessed because the staff at Vanderbilt Hospital, they knew that. And they were incredible. And that is the kind of support that I would like every birth giver to get,
mm-hmm.
is doctors and nurses who make eye contact, who listen, who ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it reminds me, I had a client once, found out she was pregnant with twins, and she started asking her doctor a bunch of questions. And her doctor basically told her, I'm the doctor, you're the patient. If you have this many questions, you need to find a new doctor.
Oh, goodness.
So emotionally, it was like he was not offering any support
mm-hmm.
on any level.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that happens a lot
yeah.
to birth givers.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this life-changing event that you are going to do a maximum of a handful of times in your life. And your primary provider of your medical care to ensure your safety physically and your baby's safety physically through the process is offering no emotional support whatsoever.
And sometimes medical staff can be a little bit put off if they see a birth giver that has a really extensive birth plan.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times that need for control, I'm putting everything in writing, I'm spelling out what I want because I may have had a traumatic event in the past. I feel like I need control. I'm feeling unsure. This is my first time giving birth. So if we could change the perception of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you see a really extensive birth plan, ask a couple more questions. You know, maybe ask for permission or consent for small things. And that can really help bridge the gap
mm-hmm.
between the provider and the birth giver and really help the final result not include trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, because you said how when you went into the triage, your midwife did not validate what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have, you know, she's got oodles and oodles of experience.
Oh, of course.
And she could have been right. She wasn't,
mm-hmm.
but she could have been right.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have done the test and your water had not broken.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole essence of your experience could have changed if she had just validated what you were saying
mm-hmm.
in a way that supported you.
Yep.
And there can be numerous reasons why that happens. I am not knocking on medical personnel.
Oh, not at all, no.
Especially during the pandemic.
Right, yeah, especially, yeah.
And we don't know, and they could have had, they could be going through trauma in their personal life.
Mm-hmm.
They could have come from a situation with another patient that
mm-hmm.
was very difficult. And so it's not easy for them to make that transition.
Mm-hmm.
And when they recognize that, most providers do offer apologies, do try to smooth things over, mm-hmm. and do try to make improvements. They don't always notice it, but a lot of times they do.
Yeah.
As doulas, that's one of the most beautiful parts of our job,
mm-hmm.
is that we can, again, create that birth bubble,
yep.
support our clients from the moment they hire us to have that component of feeling emotionally supported and heard and validated.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to trust, when we are giving birth, we have to trust ourselves. We have to trust our birth team, the medical providers, and the process.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that if you are feeling like the people who are there to provide you with support are not trusting what you're telling them
yeah.
is going on inside your body.
Absolutely. And I think not to knock the midwife that I had at that time. But I think that the reason why it was so impactful for me that she didn't, you know, kind of hear me out, or it was really more the delivery than what she said, because, you know, she's been doing this for years.
Yeah, it's how you say it, not necessarily what you say.
Right. And she knew my history. I was very open with her because I was preparing to have some sort of postpartum depression. So I had given her my full story.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that reaction just was like, oh no, you know, it was kind of disheartening for me.
Yeah.
But in her defense, if she would have said that to one of my sisters, they would have been like, oh no, I know that my water broke. So just, you know, test it again, please. You know, it was my perception.
Mm-hmm.
My personality, I mean, I came into the hospital, my trauma bag was bursting at the seams already, so. Yeah.
And I think that's a really key part of this is any kind of trauma,
mm-hmm.
there is a potential for being ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that a lot, we see that in people who are mugged.
Yes.
You know? Or people who fall prey to, like, Bernie Madoff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say anything because they're so ashamed that they fell for it. Mm-hmm. So shame plays a big part in any kind of traumatic experience. And it keeps us from using our voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so those of us, and it's not, as doulas, it's not like we are asking our clients to divulge their entire history. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of work to get to the point when you can talk publicly and openly about anything that's happened to you. That's not what we're asking. We are approaching our clients as if they do have something in their past that can impact their birth. And we want to hold their words and their feelings and their experience with gentle hands.
Yes, you have to have empathy. Empathy and trauma, it is so soothing. And even if the clients, if they don't divulge anything, if they haven't had any trauma, the trainings that you and I have been that we've been doing, it helps us to identify if there even is a hint of it, and then we can kind of spring into action and help make sure that they're getting what they need to the best of our ability.
Mm-hmm.
Because we ultimately can't control the outcome, but we can definitely at least try to make it better.
Right. Okay, so at this stage of the game in our podcast episode, our listeners might be feeling pretty down.
Yeah, it's heavy.
It is.
It is very heavy. But that's a good thing because it makes you focus on it and think about it, and you kind of want to spring into action and try to ensure the most positive of experience as you can.
Right.
But the good thing about being trauma-informed is the ability that it gives you to help others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to help yourself.
Yes. And the course that I took, I took the course expecting to be able to help our clients. I had no idea how much it would help me during the whole thing. I was like, oh, this is so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel better equipped to identify potential causes of trauma and to help our clients that may have had some previous triggers sort through that,
mm-hmm.
and have the best birth experience that they can.
Right. Yeah. So one of the things that I said earlier is we don't do a trauma screening of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
If they come to us and say, look, this is what's happened in my past. Maybe I had a traumatic birth previously,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I've had other traumas in my life that I'm concerned will impact this birth, or maybe I have really goofy family dynamics
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
might impact this birth. We need to ask the right questions.
Yep.
So we've talked about it's not the intervention. I have had clients who have had cesarean births and walked away from them feeling confident, feeling happy, feeling satisfied. It didn't maybe go the way that they thought it would, but they don't walk away from it feeling traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the interventions that's the concern here. It's how they feel. So as doulas, when we are working with our clients, we require our clients to come up with a written birth support plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not because we want them to tell us or dictate to the staff absolutely every small little thing. But what we want to know is how can we help you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we also aren't looking to change our clients' minds and make them feel like they've experienced a trauma if they did not. You know, at the end of the day, some birth givers, all they want is a healthy baby. And we aren't going to take that experience away from them. We won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we at least know what to look for
mm-hmm.
in the event that they are displaying some of the symptoms that we talked about after the birth. And we know what questions to ask, and we know in what ways that we can provide them with support.
Right, right. When we are meeting with a client during pregnancy, when we are coaching them through the different things and changes and whatnot that mm-hmm. comes about as birth gets more imminent, we do like to have their birth support plan. And the reason really is because it gives us a guidance. I always tell people, your birth plan is not written in stone. You can change it anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that. It's about making sure that everybody who is there as part of your birth team knows what needs to happen for you to feel safe. So what makes you feel safe might be to say, I don't want this, I do want that. It might be to say, I do not consent to a vaginal exam
mm-hmm.
after I've arrived and had my triage one. It, you know, and there could be a myriad of reasons why a person feels that way. Our job is to do our best to protect that need
mm-hmm.
to feel safe. Now, we might have a conversation about, okay, if your staff really feels the need to do a vaginal exam, is there a way to introduce that option to you that you can think of that would be more comfortable for you rather than just coming in and saying this has to be done?
Mm-hmm.
So for some, that means asking permission.
Yep, consent is a major thing for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in reality, nobody should be touching another person without their consent. And we're all, with this COVID now, it's almost like we're afraid to touch
mm-hmm.
each other.
Mm-hmm.
But still in the birthing room, those boundaries kind of dissolve away. And sometimes in the heat of labor, consent is not asked for.
Right.
It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are encouraging people to write things down, here's a good kind of goalpost. What we want people to do is imagine the birth that they want, all the unicorns and rainbows,
mm-hmm.
and write that down. And then imagine the birth that they fear and write that down. It could be something like, I'm afraid of forceps,
mm-hmm.
or I'm afraid of giving birth on my back. Or I'm afraid of a cesarean, or I'm afraid of something happening to me or the baby. So it could be whatever your fear is, and write that down. I call it facing your tigers.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to face those scary things in order to process them before the event happens.
Right.
And that's best done with a doula, but if or with your provider, but if you're not comfortable with that, at least do it privately or with your partner. And then attach feeling words to both of the things. What do you feel when you imagine your unicorns and rainbows birth? What do you feel when you're imagining the birth that you fear? And why do you feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's try to get some of the feelings from the birth that you want over to the side of the birth that you fear, if it's possible. So it might be making sure that your nurse comes in and helps you change positions frequently. Because some people they don't feel like they can
mm-hmm.
if the nurse isn't there. So that might be something you put in your birth plan. I want to move around frequently. Please make sure that you are encouraging me to do that at every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And for birth partners, they're not outside of this. They're emotionally involved in this experience too. They can also be included on that birth support plan. You know, my partner wants to be as involved as possible. He would or she would like to do mm-hmm. X, Y, or Z.
Yep.
You know, whoever your birth partner is. So making sure that that birth partner is also acknowledged so that their feelings can be validated, so that they have a sense of control through the process because they're not feeling what's happening in labor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this was a good point. Satisfying and empowering birth experiences are not dependent on the procedures or the interventions.
Oh, that is such a good point.
Which is said better than I just tried to say it. It's not about the interventions, people.
Yes.
It's yeah. not.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as doulas, we don't practice that way. Of course, unmedicated vaginal birth, hormonally speaking, physiologically speaking, is ideal. Mm-hmm. But we our bodies are not ideal. We are imperfect beings.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen.
Yep.
So it's not about the interventions. It's about how you feel. You need to be satisfied with it. You need to be empowered. And a lot of that is in the preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only having a doula, but taking a good quality birth class.
Yes.
Because it's really hard as a doula to educate your client about what's happening to their body in labor during labor.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to explain that to the birth partner so that they're not freaking out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So taking a good quality birth class is really, really important. Did you have anything else that you wanted to share about what you've learned recently when it comes to birth and trauma?
Really just that I now understand how individual trauma is and how unique it is to the person that is perceiving it. And that I feel like we want to work to lower these numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 in 4 or 1 in 3, that is such a huge amount.
Mm-hmm.
And as now one of my personal goals as a doula is to bring those numbers down in the best way that I can, that is safe mm-hmm. for the birth giver and safe for baby. So I feel empowered to support our clients, and I am determined. I'm on a mission now. This is my mission, and I'm so grateful to Justine Leach and Sarah Edelman for the program that they put together, and thank you mm-hmm. for pointing me in the direction of that. It was exactly what I needed. I mean, I knew that I wanted to be a doula for a reason,
mm-hmm.
but this really added to my why.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I think, As we close out here, I think it's really important to leave our listeners with some questions.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're planning your birth support plan, or as you're processing your birth, if you're sitting there listening to this with a new baby and you recognize that some of the things we've talked about are part of your story, or you're visiting somebody who's had a new baby,
mm-hmm.
the questions to ask, how do you feel safe? If you're planning a birth or planning a labor, what does safe birth look like to you? If you've got a partner that's going to be in there with you, how would your partner know that you aren't feeling safe mm-hmm. or aren't coping?
Mm-hmm.
And what would you want your partner to do? I would like to also add in there, what does the partner think? What does the partner need to feel safe? What does the partner think safe birth looks like? And not safe as in, I'm not in physical danger. Emotionally safe, mm-hmm. emotionally cared for, emotionally supported. What does that look like? So those are kind of questions to ask like ahead of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
After a baby has been born, we really need to be asking our birth givers, our new parents, birth givers and birth partners, how are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, are you healing okay? Are you yeah. sleeping at all? Is the baby, you know?
Right. How did you feel about your birth? How did you, what are your thoughts on the birth? How do you unpack that, you know?
Yeah, or just how are you doing today in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that postnatal or perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, postpartum depression, mm-hmm. postpartum anxiety, those all can pop up anytime in the first year
mm-hmm.
to a year and a half of a baby's life. So when we are so focused, and we did a podcast episode that recovery is not about the baby.
Mm-hmm.
When we're so focused on the baby and we lose sight of the birth giver or their partner, we risk not helping them process that
right
experience.
Mm-hmm.
So asking, how are you feeling today? And really listening.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a birth giver and you are having a horrible day and you haven't showered, you can't remember the last time,
mm-hmm.
and your breasts hurt,
mm-hmm.
and your laundry's piled up and you're exhausted because you're not sleeping, or you're having intrusive thoughts, or you're feeling anxiety, the person who is sitting with you needs to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Not judge.
Yep. Yeah. And making sure that you have the right person.
Yes.
Because if someone is saying, oh, well, you knew it was going to be hard to have a newborn, or you knew you would be sore after birth, or you knew, that's not the right person.
Yes. Yes. And for all of those people out there who say, oh, I would never do that. I just have this one little part I want to share is in the early days of grieving my sister,
mm-hmm.
I realized, and I noticed this in my support groups. I even noticed it with some of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
When I would feel so overwhelmed with my emotions and I would need to talk about it, people would say to me, oh, I know how you feel.
Oh.
Because when my so-and-so died.
Mm-hmm.
Or they say, oh, that can't be as bad as when this happened.
Right.
Because that is trying to compare grief.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes away the ability to use your voice because you're not being validated. So if you have a new parent who trusts you enough to share with you what they are truly feeling, try to restrain from comparing. We do it because we think it will will bridge a gap.
I'm so guilty of that. I was always the identify by comparison person. Oh, yes, I know exactly how you feel because when I, and what I didn't realize is I was taking the spotlight from the other person. I was making it seem like what they were feeling wasn't unique to them,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't acknowledging their situation.
Right.
And this 5-day course really helped me to see that can be so off-putting to mm-hmm. people, and that I thought I was relating to them, and I felt really great after I, you know, shared that I had similar feelings, and the fact that they could, on the other side of that conversation, be just so hurt or upset that I didn't allow them
mm-hmm.
to give me their story and for me to hold that space.
Right, exactly. So if you are the person who wants to be there after somebody has had a birth, and if they've had a great birth, great. Everybody loves to hear the good birth stories.
Mm-hmm.
But if they've had a birth that has left them with some feelings, and you ask them, how are you feeling, and they start to tell you, then really listen
mm-hmm.
and keep your experiences out of it. Another question that you can ask, and it's so good at any time, but it's especially good right now, is how are you being supported at home mm-hmm. and in your community? There are people who experience a rise in negative situations and home dynamics with a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's on edge because nobody's sleeping type
right.
of thing. And in an instance like that, then as a friend, as a coworker, as a grandmother, as a neighbor, you can really make a difference by saying, and it's not a judging.
Mm-hmm.
You're not judging their home situation.
Mm-hmm.
You're just saying, oh, well, maybe I can come over masked up.
Right.
And you can sleep while I take care of the baby and clean your toilets.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That may make a big difference for somebody. The other question, especially for those of us who are professional birth workers, is we want to, when we do our check-ins with our clients after they've gone home, over the last couple of weeks or couple of days, well, couple of weeks really, are you having more bad days than good days or more good days than bad days? Because everybody struggles in the beginning of having mm-hmm. a new baby home. But if you're really, if you're looking back and you're saying that the last 2, 3, 4 weeks is really awful,
mm-hmm.
then you need some attention.
Yes, absolutely.
Some other questions that you can ask. Do you fear being alone with your baby? Are you able to sleep when the baby sleeps? Which I think is a question a lot of people ask. Well, when
mm-hmm.
the baby's sleeping, are you sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that with my first, well, actually with my second, I felt like when the baby was sleeping, I needed to give attention to my first child.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So that's a good question to ask, because maybe the support that you give could be taking care of the older child so the birth giver and birth partner can lay down with the baby and take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And then another important question to ask is, are you having any thoughts that scare you? So some birth givers, after they have a baby, all of a sudden they have these overwhelming fears of dropping the baby
mm-hmm.
or some of them feel like when they're breastfeeding, if they have very big breasts, that maybe the baby's going to stop breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these are things that are concerns that should be addressed.
Yep.
And if you have a doula or your medical provider, your midwife, your OB, you can talk to them about it. They are qualified
mm-hmm.
to help you with this. And that's one of the issues with a traumatic birth experience is that some birth givers avoid their check-in with their provider, especially if they feel like their provider was the cause of their traumatic birth experience. So if that is anybody listening, then find somebody else.
Yes.
Because that check-in is very important.
Mm-hmm.
It's important physically, but it's also important emotionally.
Yes, for sure.
So, gosh, this was a heavy episode.
It was, but it was necessary. Yeah. I mean, if we look at just the way that things are in the world right now, we have to have these tough conversations and we have to learn how to support one another and empathize with one another. So I think that, yeah, it's heavy, but it's necessary.
Yeah. And I think probably, like you said, it's not really talked about. And I think that in and of itself is traumatic, is that if you come away from your birth, and maybe you don't label it as a traumatic birth, just a very difficult experience, and you don't know how to process the feelings because you're not just sitting there going, oh, my baby's here, and it can be confusing. The fact that nobody warns you that it's a possibility can be traumatic, because it can hit you out of nowhere, and you feel like you're the only one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're looking through Instagram at 2 a.m. while you're nursing your baby, and you're seeing all these happy, you know, perfectly coiffed and made up moms.
Geez. Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's not me.
Right. Yep. Yeah, the comparison and just understanding that birth is complex and it is multifaceted and it's not a one size fits all. So we really need to take the comparison out of the equation. And we just need to make sure that we are supporting one another and loving one another. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the support can really make a difference, and it can help alleviate some of the trauma, whether it's recent trauma or whether it's trauma from the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I hope that our listeners are taking this in the way that we are intending it, which is to educate, to help, to improve support.
And to shed light on a situation that is not talked about.
Right. And to take away the shame.
Yes.
There is no shame in coming out of your birth and not feeling over the moon happy every moment of the day.
Yep.
There is no shame in having these difficult emotions. You just need to find the right person to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So your midwife, your OB, your doula, your postpartum doula, a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's really concerning to you or your birth partner, reach out to a perinatal mental health specialist who works with people after a birth, because that's a specialty in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, all right.
Well, that's all we have for today. I know it's a lot, and thank you for hanging in there. And like Exy said, hopefully everyone is perceiving this in the way that we intended. So we promise we'll have something a little bit lighter.
Much lighter, yeah.
And thank you all for chiming in, and we will see you in 3 weeks.
I should be saving all of these for like a blooper reel.
Look at this.
Thanks for joining us again on another episode of Doula to Doula. Don't forget to subscribe in your favorite podcast app.